Well, Tom, welcome to our Connection First Friday broadcast.
Well, thanks, Skip. I have been looking forward to this, and to also not only to commend you on that series you spoke on when I was at your church back in January, but also how it impacted me. If I can recall, it was Threat Level 1, that series on Homeland Security, and it really dawned on me what a crisis our homes are in, and sometimes as men, we don't even recognize it. And you really brought it home that day, so I just want to encourage you and affirm you on your message.
Well, Tom, thank you for that. Promise Keepers has been around for a long time and is making a strong reemergence in many ways. Would you talk about the core mission statement that has never changed?
That's right. Promise Keepers' vision is men transformed worldwide. And by transformed, we mean men who are born again, born from above. And so if a guy is going to really see what the kingdom of God is really all about, he's got to be born from above and born again. So that's a primary focus of ours. We're not just trying to make better men or better husbands, although that's part of what we do. But it's important that men have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, our mission statement, it's really clear. It's to ignite and unite men to be passionate followers of Jesus Christ through the effective communication of seven promises. Now, if you look at the NFL, you have 32 teams. You have basketball, the NBA, 30 teams. When you think of baseball, and you look at these men in the stadium, the passion at which they follow their teams. Well, we want men, once they're introduced to Jesus Christ, to passionately follow Jesus. So that's our mission, to ignite and unite men to be passionate followers of Jesus, just not to follow him.
Well, Tom, although the core values have never changed with Promise Keepers, some of the issues that men are involved with have changed. For example, the internet was never an issue like it is today. Would you talk a little bit about that and the problem of purity for men?
Well, there is no question that when you go back to the founding of Promise Keepers back in 1991, the internet was not an issue. So we ask ourselves now, why is it such a big issue today with the whole issue of pornography? Well, there are three areas. Number one, it's accessible. Think how easy it is for a man to go to the internet at any time or day, or almost anywhere at a hotel or anything like that. It's accessible. It's affordable. Not only is it affordable, but you can be anonymous. You can be by yourself. That, in effect, unless there's accountability with another brother, it can just have a tremendous, and it is, have a tremendous impact on men.
And speaking of accountability, Tom, I know that Promise Keepers offers an internet accountability service right on your website called I Promise. Tell us about that.
Well, I Promise is really has been a success because, number one, it provides accountability. When a guy goes to the internet, certainly I need a brother. I need accountability because it's easy to just push a button, and the next thing you know, something pops up that you are drawn to. So with this Covenant Eyes, I Promise, it gives you a log of where you have been on your computer. And you can take this log and now show it to your accountability partner, where you've been, what time it was, what site that you were on. And what we're finding, if a guy does this, and that's the key, to push him to the point where he will do this, he then can have an accountability, because it's tough. I know when I'm on a road, I have accountability. When I get to the airport, I tell my wife I'm here. When I clear security, tell her I'm at the gate. When I arrive at the hotel, she has my cell phone. I tell her what room I'm in. She can call me at any time of the night. So I think there needs to be that accountability because it's tough. As Christian leaders, it's tough, and we definitely need accountability. The ordinary guy, he needs accountability. So with the internet, because it is accessible, it's affordable, There is so much. You can be anonymous when you go on. It presents what we call a triple threat.
Tom, I know that Promise Keepers is more than just a movement. It's a group of individuals who share a story together. I know that your website has testimonies from individuals, and a couple of them, Lane and Betty Johnson, get my attention. Would you tell us about their story?
Yes. Betty was a person who was obviously highly successful. They had money. Both her and her husband had money. And they fit the image of success. They had their home, a gated community. But Betty wasn't happy, and neither was her husband. Someone, a friend of his, invited him to a Promise Keepers event. At that point, he knew he was not meeting his wife's needs. She needed more than a nice home, a nice car, or money. And so as a result of the interaction at a Promise Keepers event, I don't know what presentation it was, but I believe that God convicted him on what it meant to be a man of God, what it meant to serve his wife. And that's what happens at a Promise Keepers event. In that story, it goes on to talk about how her husband went to a Promise Keepers event but came home a different man. And I think that's what happens often at a Promise Keepers event. If a man steps forward and confesses that he has not been what God has called him to be. So there's a thing that a man has to do. He has to confess. He has to step forward and say, you know what, I have let my wife down. Or I have not been the father that God has called me to be. But he can be. And what I think happens at a PK event is a man has hope.
Yeah, I was also struck by how the 9/11, the September 11 events, framed that crisis. Could you elaborate on that a bit?
Yes, because I think her visual of the two towers falling down was gripping. It was a good metaphor. And I think it's happening all over our country where marriages are falling apart. The divorce rate is soaring. And too often my wife says, well, you know, you're really being hard on the guys. Well, I think God has placed a lot of responsibility on men, on the man in the home, on the man as a leader, calling the man to serve. So I think at a PK event, we do go after, many times, confronting a man, what his responsibilities are. And I think the second part of it is accountability, because eventually a guy has to go out that exit sign. When you look at that arena, there are exit signs in the back, obviously for escape. He's going to have to go home at some point, and that's when the real challenge begins. So we encourage guys that they're going to get a vision of what it's like or what can happen at a PK event, what the image of a godly man looks like. But eventually when he goes home, he's going to have to confront the problems that he left. And I believe that having accountability can be a big help.
Tom, you wrote a very key book called 7 Questions for a Promise Keeper. And I know that it covers some important territory, some principles that we could use to hear again. Would you mind reviewing some of the key themes that you touched on in your book?
Well, the theme this year in 2008 called Manhood, Let the Truth Be Told. And so we're going to talk about 7 areas of a man's life that really the truth is told. Number one, we start off with this big area of truth. We're going to deal with eternity. We're going to talk about the heart, having passion. We're going to deal with the issue of sexuality. We're going to talk about home, his community, and then the world. One of the things that struck me, or it happened to me a year skip ago, I had cancer. I went up to Mayo Clinic to have surgery for prostate cancer. And on my second visit, they discovered I had cancer in the kidney. Well, I had it was a rude awakening, because cancer is usually something that someone else has. But when I was told that I had it, a lot of things just became clear to me. Well, was I the husband that my wife, Tony, needed and wanted? We have been married for 36 years, known her since second grade. Was I the father that I should have been? So all of these things you're confronted with when you stare death in the face. I want to say up front that I have been healed of it. It's been taken care of. But I recognize that all of us, as men and women, will face eternity one day. And so the question is, do we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? And so that I have a passion for that, for speaking to this issue of eternity and speaking to this issue of truth, which are a couple of the chapters in the book, having passion, having a heart for what you do, the issue of sexuality. God has made me a man, and my responsibility to provide and to protect. The issue of home, it's another chapter in the book. And as I said before, what are my responsibilities in my community? And what are my responsibilities in the world that God has called me to in the 21st century? So a lot of the book is about the last 2 years of my life in these areas that I've just mentioned. But God has sort of given me a second chance to pursue His vision and His purpose for my life.
Now, Tom, also, Promise Keeper Adventures is sort of a new thing you've got going, a new approach. Could you explain how that works?
Well, back in 2006, as we looked at where we were going as an organization, we came up with what we called four core wins. Certainly, we are known as a catalytic ministry, as an event ministry. But one of the things that God has impressed upon us is that we needed to change. And part of this change is technology. But there are four core wins, and wins means what's important now. That's what those letters mean. Now, core number one is the catalytic event. We will continue to do that. Core win number two is what we call PK Select. And in PK Select is the PK Adventure. PK Adventure, we are moving the experience into our theaters, where a guy can look at a screen he's accustomed maybe to coming into a theater or to a movie and seeing a presentation on a theme that we will be delivering. You will have a surround sound. You'll be gathered with other men. You'll be able to interact with other men. But we feel that we can get to some of the smaller cities if we can use more of our technology.
So how many of these adventures a year do you think you're going to be able to do, Tom?
Well, once we get this thing started, we're going to have over 100. We're just kicking this thing off. We experimented with it last fall. We're tweaking it, and we're going to be doing more in the spring and in the fall of this year.
Tom, let's talk about some of the large-scale events coming up in 08. This is something Promise Keepers has been known for years. This year, you're doing them from Dallas to Florida. These are some pretty large stadium-style events.
Yes, we're going to be having 8 events this year. Fresno, California, Atlanta, Georgia, Peoria, Illinois, Dallas, Texas, Cleveland, Ohio, Charleston, Fort Lauderdale, and Tacoma. And one of the, I think, the bright spots of 2008, Skip, is having you on our program in Fort Lauderdale, along with Franklin Graham. So we are excited about that.
So, Tom, help me get my mind around Promise Keepers a little more. It seems like PK is diversifying a little bit. I know your core values and the core events are the large-scale rallies, but you also have small groups you get involved with. You also have a very aggressive website. What direction are you personally most excited about?
Well, there's a couple of areas. Number one, technology, to be able to capture all of our presentations and then allowing men to download them on the internet. We're going to go back even as far as 1992 and bring up some of our speakers so that a guy can download that, just like he may have a Super Bowl party in his home. He can put that on his large screen and invite some of his brothers over to watch a presentation and then have a Bible study behind it. So that's going to be big as we capture this technology that's offered to us today. In addition, we're going to be offering more content on our website, downloadable Bible studies. We're going to kind of weigh into some political things. We're not going to tell guys how to vote, but we certainly can show them what the Bible says on these issues. So these are some of the things that we're going to do as far as content is concerned. Skip, I'm excited about what can happen internationally. When we look at Revelations 5:9 and 7:9, who do we see worshiping around the throne of God? We see men and women from every tribe, tongue, language, and nation. Now, we may not have events in every nation of the world, but certainly in the 21st century, God has given us access to the world through the internet, through technology. And I believe that as we look at promise number 7, which God has called us to, which is one of our promises from the beginning, that God is calling us as promise keepers to take his message of manhood to the nations of the world, to the ethnic groups of the world, and I'm really excited about that.
Tom, we want to hear your story. Tell us how God moved you into Promise Keepers.
You know, when I was growing up, my pastor thought I was going to be a pastor. I got excited about God's Word. I came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 11 years old, and then I went on to college, and I really, through Campus Crusade for Christ, the four spiritual laws and being filled with the Holy Spirit, that booklet, it taught me that I should be, as a Christian, sharing my faith. I was very active in the 60s on the college campus and sharing the Lord with my colleagues. There was the Vietnam War. It was the King was killed during that time, Kennedy, Robert Kennedy. And so I enjoyed the excitement, the challenge of the college scene. God showed me during that time that I had leadership skills. I wanted to be a college president. I took that course, but ended up at General Motors and enjoyed that side. But I still had this sense that God wanted me to do something different and for him. Through a series of events, I found myself following the Lord at Promise Keepers, serving here, and I enjoy and I'm challenged working with men. I can appreciate the fears, the insecurities that they have. I appreciate the challenges that they have being a husband and a father. I've been there. I see the issues cross-culturally. As a man of color, I see the needs there. And I believe God has called us, PK, has called me to the marketplace. Again, I thought maybe at one time I would have been a pastor. But growing up in my church, when you look at ministry, too often you see the man proclaiming the Word of God from the pulpit, that's what we called it, the platform. And we think that's all there is in ministry. But God had blessed me and gifted me with other skills, other leadership skills. And so I find myself today at the head of this ministry with probably the challenges of pastors. I think that's why I have a love for pastors. When we look at promise number 5, it's calling men back to the church, serving their pastor, giving of their time, their talent, and their resources. we're calling men to pray for their pastors because, Skip, that's a tough job that you have. We need men. We need men. We need men in your church and other churches are praying for men like yourself. And so proclaiming the Word of God, ultimately, it's about eternity. And I think God has given all of us as men a job to do. As I talk with men in the marketplace, I try to listen to their story. I try to listen to their journey. And we're all on a journey, and we have a story to tell. And I try to listen in his journey and in his story as he found Jesus Christ, because that is what his story is all about when we talk about history. Ultimately, it's finding the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then he's going to call you on a journey with him. And as we get to know him deeper through discipleship, he may call you to another country. But he may call you to a nearby community. But certainly he has called you and called us to know him in a deep way, in a deeper way.
Tom, what are some other areas that are key for men to be aware of in our day?
One of the things that your epicenter, that's huge when you talk about end times, when you talk about the nations of the world, when you talk about Israel, that's where it's all headed, you know. And as men, we need to know history. We need to know what is God saying on the world scene. What is our calling, you know, right now? So I want to encourage you to continue to do what you're doing. Israel is a key, and we want to let the men know in our arenas this year, in some way, that we need to know a little bit about more about our world. And what is it about the Middle East that seems to capture our attention, and we'll do even more, and they need to know about it.
Thanks, Tom, for being part of our first Friday program.